back to another episode of the Hall of Jostis Comic Cast. You got Above Average Joe and Excalibur here for another round of Young Justice, you know, therapy.
I'm back.
Do you even leave at this point? I mean,
I'm gonna go with a hard fast no, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
I never said it was a bad thing. I was just clarifying.
Adding some color commentary to your evening and your every other podcast. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, well, no, so we're back for round four.
So this is interesting.
Yeah.
Because this was, so we got four episodes instead of three. And I think we got
Did
the four.
We get four episodes?
Yeah, it was four. Okay. I think it was four because they counted this week as the mid-season finale. Mm. So we got our extended dose of the Young Justice this week.
We did get four, you're right.
Yeah. I was counting, kind of, between my emotional breakdowns.
Man, I swear, like, between each episode, my brain has so little time to just decompress that it's kind of like, episode ended, episode starts.
It's like when you have that moment at work, and it happens to me quite often, where you're, like, on a path to, like, explaining something to somebody, and then you just stop, and you're just, like, stuck, and it's like your brain reboots. It's like that for every, like...
You've just described every conference call I've ever been on.
Yeah, see, there you go. So, I did it today, as a matter of fact. I was trying to explain something to an employee, and I'm like,
The thing does.
And they're like, you okay? And I'm like, wait, no. My brain just restarted. Let's circle back. This is... So it's kind of like that.
It's funny that you mentioned four episodes and mid-season finales. The end of the third episode was kind of calm, and I was like, this doesn't feel like a mid-season finale for Young Justice.
The third episode was interesting because it was in lighter fare than what we've been getting, because every episode we've been getting has been like super duper like heavy hitting.
With the exception of, you know, Bow Hunter's security.
Well, yeah. But this episode was a Gar episode, which I thought was really needed, especially because at this point we've only really seen
him
in
like
spurts.
The second set of episodes?
Yeah, second set of episodes, and then a little bit like in the second episode of the first three.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's been around consistently.
No,
what we find out in episode three is that he actually gave up being part of the team or the league in general, just cold turkey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as we know, he lost his mom. But then also his godmother, who we find out is Elastigirl in this universe. So loses her and gets adopted by McGann. But then I kind of remember this Doom Patroller's name.
Satan? Is it? I don't remember.
Oh, shit, I don't know.
Steve something or other.
Yeah, so anyway, he...
I'm out on Doom Patrol.
Yeah,
like.
Same. So he basically comes and, like, forcibly adopts Gar, and, you know, Gar starts acting because of it, because he wants to be, you know, closer to his mother and his godmother, and then we find out that he just fucking hates it. Like, he just fucking hates his life. And the reason why he quit is because he's lost so many people, you know, not just talking about his moms, we're also talking about leaguers, you know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I mean, a large amount. So what we've gathered is that he shortcut his career because he didn't want to lose people. Like he had already lost so many people that he wasn't ready to just continue down that path.
Absolutely.
Of losing people.
And this is a cool moment, you know, but because Tula's death was dealt with off screen as part of the Young Justice video game that came out in the comics. So this is actually the first time we've seen Tula, quote-unquote, die on screen, even if it was in some kind of Galaxy Quest-esque flashback.
Right. Well, and the same thing for Jason Todd as well, too, because
Jason
Todd's death happened off-screen as well. So,
and Ted's.
Yeah, and Ted's. So the fact that, you know, we got just a tiny bit of a glimpse to these being active leaguers is cool, but also at the same time it was kind of hollow, because it's like we kind of know what could have been prior to, but because the story is mainly about the original team and how they're expanding out, once they expanded out, the team after them, we didn't really get a bunch of. Yeah. Because the team after that team ended up having more kids that they directly influenced. Yeah, like, we got more of the Gamma
team than anything else.
Exactly, exactly.
I did love that his spirit guide was Wally.
It was great. So, and this is where I kind of think they're planting the seeds of Wally's eventual return. Him being such a factor in, you know, Gar's weird spiritual journey back to being a hero.
He's a constant part of Artemis, her journey. I mean,
yeah. And then, you know, also, you know, it's been brought up in situations as far as Will and Grayson, because Will or Roy or whatever the fuck we want to call him calls Grayson out on his shit and says, hey, you can't make me your new Wally. Like, that's just not, you got to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So the pieces are coming together.
Oh, yeah.
And then the fact that Gar specifically relives the moment where Wally disappears in season two, that means we know where it began at. Like, him starting to distance himself started
that
with
was
Wally.
The genesis of the whole mm-hmm. thing. So, yeah, episode... funny that we say that all this was lighter fare.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a step back. Let's go back to episode four.
Mm-hmm.
Or episode one of this this set. We saw some better training with the team.
Yep.
A lot of Geo-Force character development, because he's...
This is great.
He's kind of become this season's, you know...
Connor.
Season one Connor.
Yep.
So it's good to see him level out, because it also kind of fills in that gap in Connor's progression, because I'm still just weirded out by Connor being calm, cool, collected, you know, rational.
Yeah, Connor's just like, yeah. He's, yeah, whatever. I'm hanging out. We're good. This is fun.
It's very, very weird. I'm like, no, you're supposed to be the one screaming at things, and, you know, you threaten to kill Lagoon Boy, and...
Several times, might I add. Not just an isolated incident. Several times.
Like, there was a lot of palpable tension in season two, and now Connor's like, oh, okay, this sucks. We'll keep going.
I won. That's his stance on it now. Yeah. I won.
I won. Okay, but, so we go into that, and... Okay, we teased it on Instagram. Let's talk about it. Cyborg.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I like that his origin... I like that Cyborg's origin is starting to even out.
Yeah.
Especially because beforehand, I don't think we've really gotten a consistent string of how he actually came about origin-wise.
No, I mean, throughout all media, it's either been... Because Smallville did the classic, you know... car accident, only member of the team survived, just general cybernetics that are keeping him alive.
Yep.
Justice League did the Mother Box route.
Yep.
Teen Titans never really
explained
delved
it
much into
all.
It
yeah.
at all. And now here we get a kind of a combination of all of those.
Yeah. So, and hopefully this leads to just Cyborg overall as a character, because we were talking about this, you know, earlier, is Cyborg is at a point where his character needs to even out.
Yeah.
And I think Young Justice will be a perfect jump off point just from the show itself, because we've seen the impact that DC's animated universe has on a lot of its other mediums. Mm-hmm. So if we can get Cyborg right here, that means he has the potential to be right everywhere else.
Especially with him coming up in the Doom Patrol series that mm-hmm. they've announced and that's currently filming.
Right.
Which, speaking of, the Doom Patrol nod in this episode.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about it. It was
so
great.
in the Gar episode, there was a... Part of his fever dream was him trying to cope with his godmother's death. And Elastigirl was a member of the Doom Patrol. Now, to kind of... explain all of this, they took Teen Titans Go and turned it into Doom Patrol Go, and all of their like theme song was basically about dying, and it was really morbid.
die.
It was really morbid and really catchy. That's all I'm gonna say.
I think you just like that's the perfect description of chick who plays April Ludgate.
Oh, why can't I remember her name? Wow.
Yeah, that brain thing we were talking about. Yeah, happened to both of us.
That, yeah, the fucking brain thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I don't crush on the girl sometimes or anything. Yeah, whatever.
It's not like we're both of us are sitting here behind laptops that could easily look this up. Anyway,
here we go.
So yeah, we had the Gar episode. Just the Teen Titans Go riffing was
Aubrey Plaza.
Thank you.
Technology.
The Teen Titans Go Doom Patrol Go riff was hilarious.
It was great.
Oh my god, it was so hilarious. But to your point, it was, you know, morbid and catchy, but we're both sitting there laughing, and they're, die, 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 and then,
like, this is fantastic, but I also have feels.
Like, I... conflicting emotions!
Yep.
So we saw a lot of good evolution in the Gar episode, not just for Gar himself, but also Connor and Megan redefining their new normal.
Yeah, because it's weird for them, right? Especially now that, you know, Vic is in the picture. They all of a sudden have, like, four fucking kids just living in their house.
They just full housed this shit.
Yeah.
Like,
everywhere you look.
There's just a lot of Mr. Woodchuck in my head right now. You're welcome. Okay.
We're part of the same generation, man. That's fine.
No, it's fine. You know, a couple episodes ago, I got myself with the Medichlorians thing, and you just Mr. Woodchucked me. Yeah. So, there we are.
You're welcome.
So, it was cool to see first Connor and McGann kind of struggling with, especially McGann, which is interesting. It kind of shows her evolution because she had a hard time being alone and not being telepathically linked to everyone.
Right.
In season one.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to now understand and value the concept of privacy is, it's just a really good reminder of how much these characters have grown.
Right. And in terms of her and Connor being together, Connor's always been, on the flip side, Connor's always religiously been the loner. That's just always how his character's been set up.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of seeing, again, to his evolutionary point, he's gone away from being, I have to be the loner, I have to be the rah-rah, whatever, whatever. And now he's like, I'm totally fine being the pillar of understanding and truth and justice and blah blah blah. Like, he is filling in Big Blue's role whether he wants to or not.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just by the process of him having to not only be mentored by him but also not in the same time because he's been off world.
Yeah.
But then it also speaks to the relationship that he has or continued relationship that he's had with Grayson, because I'm pretty sure Grayson plays a big part into that.
Oh, Grayson and Calder, they all kind of shaped because
they all grew up together. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, when we met them in season one, you're talking, you know, it's not like, you know, the Trinity or, you know, Marvel's Big Three. You have, you know, you essentially have five kids that just figured this out together.
Yeah.
And they all showed up at the same time. Now, mind you, it was, you know, Calder, Grayson, and Wally, like, being together first. But that lasted all of two episodes.
Yeah, it was Calder, Grayson, Wally, and Roy.
Yeah. And then Roy took himself out of the equation. And then when he takes himself out, then you have, you know, here comes, you know, everybody else.
Yeah.
So now that they've established their relationships with each other, you're starting to see them become more than their betters.
I also like how we've kind of flipped the dynamic between Connor and McGann, where she was always the confidant, the one who brought him back from when he was way out yonder, and now Connor's doing that for her. She's starting to spiral because she's like, whoa, all of a sudden we've got all these kids and this was supposed to be a one mission thing and we're engaged now. And can we also just talk about the shower thing, the beginning of that episode?
So,
that was great.
What I think I've started loving about this show is it's growing as their main characters grow. So,
in a lot of ways, it's growing with the audience, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, a lot of us that started watching Young Justice were fresh off of the Teen Titans era, like the original Teen Titans era, like, you know, what, 4 or 5 years removed from it. So we are, you know, high school, you know, early college, and we're going through kind of the same thing that the team is going through at the time. you know, finding yourself, who you are, where your place is in the world. It just so happens that their place in the world is a little different because they have to find two different ways.
Yeah.
Where a lot of us just have to find one. So as they've grown
into... They've also got a nicer clubhouse.
Yeah, exactly. As they've grown into their respective roles, you know, from season one to season two, and season two being very heavy on relationships and loss and, you know,
very adult concepts. Responsibility.
Yeah. So you're starting to get your... They're starting to move into their adulting phase of their lives, and now we're meeting them, and they're full-blown adult, and they're like, you know, we're getting married, we're having, you know, healthy relationships. Good for you, Grayson. And we are...
out of all the ones, I wouldn't have picked him for a healthy relationship.
Thank you, right? And, you know, now they are becoming more than their betters and deciding what they can do to help guide the next generation, but having to do it as haphazardly as possible.
I loved the whole setup where she's like, oh, I'm just wearing my engagement ring, and Connor just flies across the room.
Oh yeah, he's just like, yep, I know what that meant.
Woo.
He didn't even have to like jumped the bed because he wanted to. I mean, sometimes the fastest point isn't from A to B.
I'm just saying, man, like Black Lightning got his, and now
So, can we talk about that for a second, too?
The meta jokes now?
So, now we have the meta jokes. And the crazy thing is...
I think I made, like, four of them during this episode.
I love this. So, there are very adult themes in this season, of course, as we've, you know, previously mentioned. But Black Lightning has been the butt of a lot of the jokes.
Oh, yes.
Even on the internet. So... After that episode where he's, you know, oh God, who was he fighting in the last episode? Livewire.
Yeah.
And Livewire is like, oh, you know, I can absorb your energy. And he's like, you never had Black Lightning before. And then like,
brown chicka brown.
Yeah. So, and then it just escalated. The internet is undefeated. They grabbed the shit. Oh, dude, I've reposted that video like 5 times on every social media network I have. It's amazing. Like,
I sat there and watched all 5 minutes of
it. Like, the great thing about it, too, is that it starts playing fucking Jodeci.
I know.
And the Jodeci song that's playing also happens to be the ending theme for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Season 5. So, Freaking You has officially invaded all facets of nerddom. And it's fucking great. Internet, nerd culture... who also happen to be 90s R&B babies, never fucking change.
Well played.
Ever.
But there were so many just perfectly teed up Black Lightning moments.
Oh, yeah, dude. Just didn't even have to fucking try.
Simon couldn't handle the Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Caught a little bit of it, and he was down for the count.
Yeah. He's... Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Okay, so, yeah, these episodes were overall lighter in tone. Let's talk about Terra.
Yeah.
So, they set Terra up to be kind of... Terra is, throughout all of Teen Titans lore, is just kind of reviled for being the traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And this entire season, she's been the victim. She's been kidnapped. She's been tortured. She's... kind of been the MacGuffin of Rian's whole storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we finally rescue her.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had that side conversation. It was like, they were setting her up for redemption. It's like, is this show going to flip the narrative and redeem Terra?
Right.
Well, I'm glad we didn't put too much effort in that because we were fucking wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm really glad we didn't double down on that one. We had to repeat it last week.
Yeah, I mean... I can't be frustrated that they're going with it because it's a standard narrative with Terra, and it's going to do great things now that Geo-Force is on the team, and we get to see that play out in real time. But still, I'm like, damn it, Terra, why?
So, the interesting thing here, too, is like we don't really know what the Light's motive is. Like,
yeah,
at its core right now, besides the... you know, them wanting to capitalize on meta trafficking and have a meta army and then the whole, you know, deal with Apocalypse, like, and Granny Goodness, like, brainwashing people with the goody goggles, which we now know is official.
Hey, we got that one right.
Yeah, we did.
Slight redemption.
Yeah, a little bit. But we still don't know what their core achievement is. Like, we don't know what their plan is at all. Outside of the fact that, from what Vandal Savage told us, you know, in the last set of episodes, is that I struck a deal with Apocalypse, I give him assets, he lets me operate, and we have his support, and then when it's all said and done, we see who's left.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't know anything.
Everything between now and then, we... Which is weird, because we've always kind of seen what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're in the dark here. But we did get some cool revelations in these episodes. We did go to Santa Prisca. We did see Bane and Lady Shiva and the leadership of the League of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Bane has, for the time being, kicked his venom habit.
Yep, he's off the juice.
I think he's going to go back to the juice.
He's probably going to go back to the juice because he didn't fare well against Batman without it.
Beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Batman let him get licks in so he could feel special.
Slightly better about mm-hmm. himself.
Look, you hit me. Oh.
We got Katana and Metamorpho, and I was happy cool. to see Metamorpho. I'm a big Metamorpho fan. It's like the second they just released the teaser art for this series, and I saw Metamorpho. I remember I texted you. I was like, "Do Metamorpho!"
Yeah, that's like that.
So I've been sitting here just like tapping my toe, waiting for him to show up, and they did him perfectly right in this one.
Yeah, well, and you only get so, especially when it comes to animation, especially when you're dealing with animation and you're trying to appeal to an older crowd or trying to appeal to fans of series.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't get a second chance.
Yeah.
Them introducing Katana and Metamorpho with Batman, as they usually are, as his, you know, group of outsiders.
They're classic outsiders.
Yeah. Perfect introduction. Didn't need anything else. They didn't overcomplicate it. Good as it was.
Yeah. Did Katana even have a line?
Did not.
Awesome. So we got some more revelations out of that episode, too. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we saw another child of Savage.
Yeah.
Named Cassandra.
Yep.
For those of us playing the home game, this is a nod to Cassandra Cain,
yep.
the second official Batgirl.
Yep.
Every goddamn Batkid has been part of the League of Shadows now.
Every damn Batkid has been part of the League of Shadows.
Baby Damian.
Yep.
Jason Todd's corpse.
Mm-hmm. Jason Todd's corpse.
No, Cassandra.
Zombie Todd.
Zombie Todd.
It's fine.
What? And we also got some other... Let's talk about the big nods to some more recent comic book stuff. We got Harper Row.
Yep.
And the one I really was surprised with, the fucking Court of Owls.
Yep.
What the hell?
So, again, DC leaning on their animated universe to help expand their dominance in specific realms, i.e. right now comic books and animated series, because their animated series and movies are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it's worked in the comics. It can work here.
Oh, yeah. We had that one setup shot where there was the mask kind of halfway out of mm-hmm. frame. On,
yeah, because Barbara was researching
Yep. It's like, okay, I remember I asked you, I was like, is that an owl mask? And you go, yep.
Yeah.
I figured that was going to be it. It was just a nod. We were going to go on to
something
else. Yeah, something
else that they're working on.
Yeah, and then blah, boom, blah, blah. Next scene, we're full on Court of Owls buying metahumans,
mm-hmm.
making them fight.
Mm-hmm.
Wah.
Yeah.
Other parts of this episode, I mean, we got a lot of good development. More information on Halo's background.
Yeah, so, and a lot of that is tied to Cyborg, so, which we didn't know until Cyborg showed up. So, Cyborg's origins in Young Justice is his cyber genetic makeup is made up by a father box.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find out about Halo is that her genetic makeup is also cyber genetic, but it's a mother box. So, they're complete polar opposites of each other.
Yeah.
So, essentially, what happens between Victor and Violet is that they are at constant odds with each other unknowingly at the beginning of their respective episode, and then as the episode ticked along, you find out that Violet is the counter to Victor's father box taking over because Victor can't control it.
Yeah, he got a leg up on it briefly, really briefly.
Yeah, like
I still think there's more to Violet because she's got to be connected to the emotion spectrum somehow, because we've seen every
which is interesting
single
because
color.
Yeah, she's had and used every color in some facet to do something.
Yeah,
but also we won't know until they interact with the Lantern, and they haven't interacted.
Yeah,
that part of the team, like Nightwing's Outsiders, hasn't interacted with a Lantern.
Yeah.
So we don't know how, or even if, she is part of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many lineups there for me to feel like it's simply a nod.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I will say in that episode, you were like, well, this went horror movie real quick.
Yep.
come out, wherever you are.
Hand busts through the door, opens door in the knob.
Here's Victor!
Yep, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about Professor, you know, the one who wrote Black Lightning.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So here's two notches in the story now. So Tara's back, but we find out that Tara's actually not brainwashed at all. She's just straight up working for the light, and her main contact is fucking Slade. So
I really hope we don't get that scene.
Yeah, so I hope we don't either. But we saw fucking Victor's gaping chest wound, so I'm not getting...
And beating heart.
Yeah, nothing is off the table for me right now with this series. Anyway.
Flashback to episode... Yeah. This got dark fast. Dude, we're watching Young Justice.
Yeah, this got dark fast. Also... The doc made a very persistent point on brushing Violet's hair as she was kind of like having her episode.
Yeah.
And when they go back in to clean the house at the end of that episode, she picks up the brush. Now, that may just be her picking up the brush, and the animation was like, made her look more sinister than she needed
to. It could have been an emotional thing because she could talk about, and she used to do that for her daughter.
Yep.
But this is also Young Justice, so it could be she's been playing everybody and now she's got Halo's DNA.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This show has made me, you know, preternaturally paranoid about, one, making predictions, and two, trusting any of the characters.
Yeah. You can never be whelmed with this
show. No. It's a total aster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of people not being whelmed, when Batman laid that list of people who had come to Santa Prisca without Bane's knowledge...
Nobody enters Santa Prisca, and Batman's like, Robin, Flash.
Robin, Flash, Superboy, Aqualad. I'm like...
The light. Like, he's just running it down, and, like, Bane gets fucking upset, because he knows it's true. He just, like, what's the rage quit life, because he knows, like, Santa Prisca is not this glorious fucking fortress that he wants it to be.
This is mine! Except when other people are here! Oh, man. Forager was great in these episodes. One, I mean, his relationship with Bioship is hilarious.
Yep.
Now that he's Fred Bug with 2 G's.
Fred Bug with 2 G's.
Fred Bug with 2 optional G's. I'm curious to where their little friendship with Harper Row is going to go.
Yes.
Because I don't know how to feel about Harper. Is she just being the cool, edgy kid who's like, high school sucks, I'm going to eat lunch under the bleachers? Or, you know, is it Young Justice being Young Justice and we're being set up for a fall?
Who knows? Find out next week.
Right? As we scream into the microphone.
Yeah. That's what we do.
I love that they're still showing his shell growing back. Like,
yep.
It's not just like, poof, I'm fine again.
Yeah, progressively through the episodes, like, they've been showing his shell growing back. So he's still kind of, like, completely naked in the first set of episodes.
The fact that he's like, I feel less naked now.
Yeah, and you're like, what? Sure.
was it Cheshire coming back to, you know, look forlornly through the window at her family?
Villain hero relationships, man. Who gets them? Not me, that's for sure.
Well, certainly not Tom King. Yeah, I just hurt both of us on that one, didn't I? Yeah. Worth it. No, not worth it. It still hurts.
Yeah, no. No, it was 13 issues ago.
Hey, number 63 hurt more.
Thanks.
Sorry, we're veering off topic. Back to Young Justice. So, yeah, now we know we can't trust Tara.
Yep.
We don't know if we can trust the Doc.
Yep.
We're pretty sure we can still trust Victor.
Yeah, I think Vic is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still don't know if, you know, Vandal can snap his fingers and Fate goes all...
Yeah. There's a lot of subplot factors that won't be tied up until the very, very end of whatever's happening.
Oh, no, I think the final two episodes of this show are just going to blow the back of our skull of the back of our skulls off.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, like, hang a tarp behind my couch.
Yeah.
Because I'm betting Wally's going to show up at, like, the 11th hour,
mm-hmm.
if he does come back. Mm-hmm. Please, 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 Wally, come back. I can't have you be both dead in the comics and Young Justice.
Yeah. There has to be a Wally somewhere.
We need Wally.
Yeah.
I need Wally! What else you got, I mean, from these episodes? This was a good, like, palate cleanser. We saw good stuff, but it was also... slower drama.
It did what it needed to do for a set of episodes for their mid-season finale.
Yeah.
It laid a bunch of stuff, I don't want to say to rest, but it kind of smoothed out some of the stuff that we had gotten in the previous 12 episodes and culminated everything into 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And it's setting us up for the long haul for the next 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah. The table's set. Like, mm-hmm. this is... Yeah. I'm really curious to see how the whole Tara Breon thing is going to change once that penny drops.
Yep. Yeah, once that shoe drops, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because all of GeoForce's character development, or lack thereof, both, have been based around his family.
Yeah.
More specifically, Tara. And when the shoe drops that she's the traitor, he has to make a decision.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good one to see. Damn it, why is there always a traitor revealed in the mid-season finale?
No, it's...
Ow.
TV.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, the same thing goes for the Doc, too, I feel.
Yeah, I really want her to not be the bad guy.
Right.
Simply because Jefferson needs something, man.
Right.
He's still dealing with the fact that he inadvertently killed a kid.
Yeah. Accidentally killed a kid. Still rolling the ex-wife train. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing, it was a subtle thing, but I really liked how they handled Violet taking off her hijab.
Oh, yeah.
With getting Victor out of the room.
Yeah.
It was
very tasteful.
Really subtle.
Yep.
It wasn't forced or anything. It was just this totally organic beat.
Yep.
I loved it. Great character development. Great writing there.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got? Anything else for these episodes? This was a breath of fresh air followed by someone slamming the door in your face.
Yeah, it was like, hey, welcome, click. Yeah. This, I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of the major points. Going forward, I think a lot of what's happening, I think Victor's going to be a very big part of what's happening.
I think Vic's going to be a big part. Gar's going to be a big part. I really feel like this story is gonna really hang on Victor, Gar, Halo, mm-hmm. and the whole GeoForce Terra dynamic.
Yeah,
everything that radiates out from that is just gonna be, you know, background drama.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I just want to see Connor and McGann get married.
I just had a moment, and if Greg does a Greg. And they don't get married.
You think he's going to Spectacular Spider-Man us?
It's possible.
Yeah, but that happened because the show got canceled.
That's true.
Greg, if you're listening...
Right. please, sir.
As we firmly established, we're okay with being hurt emotionally, but we just have, like, one or two requests.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So, with that, gang, we will be back next week with another 3 episodes, and hopefully our emotions will be intact.
Yeah. I mean, maybe next week. I don't know if it'll... Because it's their mid-season finale, so I don't know if they'll have, like... I don't know if they'll be back next week. Or
well, let's check the website real quick.
Because I'm looking right now, and it doesn't give a date for 14, so...
Well, son of a bitch. We'll be back at some point with 3 episodes.
We'll be back. We'll be back. Yeah. That's all you need to know. We'll be back.
Hey!
You know what? Let's see if we can find anything.
Millennials using our techno whiz. Using
the
technologies. Why am I doing like the great Karnak thing back here?
No idea. Ah, here we go. First half of season 4 or season 3, where we're at the 25th, so the 4th through the 25th. Second half starts this summer. So
starts when?
June.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Nope.
Okay, we'll be back sometime between now and June.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find something to punch now.
Yeah.
But yeah, tune in, guys. Be sure to give us a like or subscribe. Definitely give us a review on iTunes. It's the best way to help out the show.
Indeed. And I'm pretty sure like there's more stuff for us to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk. Like, yeah, at the very least, we need to be able to cry together because we're going to have to wait till fucking June.
Well, I mean, at least you have... Yeah, no, I don't know what to do.
Just going to be like...
Oh, hey, shameless work plug.
Hey.
So, if you guys do need something new to watch, Genlock, which is the new Rooster Teeth animation, starts on Saturday.
Awesome.
And it features Michael B. Jordan and Dakota Fanning. So.
Oh, nice.
Boom. So, yeah. Also, if you want to pick up your shirts, animeplease.com. Boom. There you go.
There you go.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. We're all about the shameless plugs here.
On top of the normal Cerebral Syndicate shameless plugs.
I don't even think that qualifies as a shameless plug anymore.
It's just a plug. It's just a plug.
Just plug it, man.
We're everywhere. Come find us. Wherever.
Yeah, we're in places and things and stuff, doing the things and stuff that we do.
Yes.
All right. Later, gang.
Tip your bartenders.